B-Pod Studios.
This is WWE Superstar Roman Reigns, and you are listening to Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast with James Stewart and Mike Riley, two great members of the Kowloon crew. Mike, remember, this is Jay Stu's yard, brother.
Mike Riley, Randy Orton is now a 14-time world champion. He beat Drew McIntyre tonight with an RKO. Not quite out of nowhere, but Randy Orton, 14 times the world champion. He ties Triple H. He is behind John Cena at 16. Ric Flair's WWE number is 16, even though it's more like 29 times the world champion. But Randy Orton, I thought Randy Orton was going to win, but I thought we were going to have a cash-in. We'll get to more of that later because the briefcase has changed hands as well.
Yeah.
But Randy Orton walks out of Hell in a Cell tonight in the main event as the WWE World Champion. What'd you think?
Yeah, I didn't see this happening. I thought Drew McIntyre would have retained. I think from going into the pay-per-view, I thought that WWE was telling us that Drew McIntyre is the COVID champion for WWE, for the foreseeable future. Obviously threw the curveball at me there on that. And I thought the match was boring up until the time they climbed the top of the cage and they made things a little interesting there. But overall, I mean, Randy Orton, you know, we've talked about him numerous times here with his career. And I know you don't, he doesn't do much for you, Jimmy, right? You're not too big on.
I run hot and cold with Randy Orton.
Yeah. There are times
like his program with Edge, I thought was generally good, except for the stinker they had at WrestleMania.
Yep.
And I'm in the minority of thinking that's a stinker. There are a lot of people who thought that was a fabulous match. I thought the Backlash match was better.
Much better than WrestleMania. Yes. And
I thought that this program with Drew McIntyre was okay.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's how I would define it, is okay. See, I think his work with Kofi last year was okay.
Yep.
I keep expecting more from Randy Orton and I keep being disappointed. So maybe my expectations for arguably one of the greatest performers of this generation are just too high.
Yeah.
And maybe that's my fault. Because, Mike, as I'm finding out more and more, things are more my fault than they are other people's.
Well, the fact that he's a 14-time champion, a very quiet 14-time champion, if you will, it just kind of came out of nowhere there, winning that against Drew McIntyre here. And like I said, I thought that he was the pandemic champion for the company. But Randy Orton now being the champion, and, you know, we're going to talk about The Miz there in that scenario. You know, winning the Money in the Bank briefcase, Randy Orton here, there is a very strong possibility that that could be challenged by or taken away by The Miz at any moment, that's for sure. But I think we're looking at a rematch here at some point in the near future. Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre probably at Survivor Series.
I would think that would be TLC because Survivor Series is the intertwined brand gimmick.
There have been
exceptions, but in my mind, and I was texting with somebody in the business about this.
Yep.
What's a better matchup? Roman versus Randy Orton versus Finn Balor.
Oh, so you want to go that route versus, then? Okay. So you want to put him head to head SmackDown Raws?
Because that's what I think should happen.
Right.
And I know we've had years past where we've had Daniel Bryan against Brock Lesnar for the title.
Right.
Last year the main event was the three women. It was Bayley, Becky, and Shayna Baszler.
Yep.
All champions against each other. So I'm not sure how they're going to format it, but I always kind of think of like Orton versus Roman.
Yep.
Is that better than McIntyre versus Roman?
I'd probably say so.
So you? I would say yes, because we've seen Roman versus Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
Do a WrestleMania match.
Right.
So it's not a unique match.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I'd say Orton Roman is, that makes sense. And I think it makes sense to be a better one than Drew and Roman. 100%. Yeah. If they're going to go that route, then sure, go ahead. You can have, obviously it's going to be a non-title match, right? But in the past with the Survivor Series, where I think the last couple of years where you're just, you know, I know they had that pay-per-view years ago called Bragging Rights. Remember that? The Bragging Rights one?
Yeah, it's the same idea. It's brand supremacy, except they just made it Survivor Series.
But put something in the line here, though. I want more stipulation where we haven't had that in the past. I want more stipulation here for a pay-per-view with that name there and so forth. But
so we discussed this at length last year where there should be stakes on the line. It should be the 30th entrant of the Royal Rumble match.
Royal Rumble, something.
It should be,
put it in.
It should be a guaranteed match at WrestleMania, guaranteed main event at WrestleMania, guaranteed championship shot.
Yep.
I like the 30th position in the Rumble because that's still that's continuous flow from big pay-per-views.
Yep.
Going forward.
Yep.
So that's kind of what I would do. This match was okay. It was just kind of in the I don't think anything was going to follow Sasha Banks and Bayley.
Match of the night.
Sasha Banks wins the SmackDown Women's Championship from Bayley in what I thought was a tremendous matchup. Mm-hmm. The finish saw Sasha Banks lock in the bank statement with a chair wrapped around Bayley's head.
Yep.
Bayley tapped out after Sasha continuously stomped at. I thought she was trying to stomp at her hand. She was stomping at the chair. Either way, it was effective. And I got some. I got a text message from a person mentioned before in the business.
Yep.
Match of the year candidate.
Wow. Damn. Well, we're going to probably see a lot of those coming next few weeks coming in. That is a match of the year candidate. But yes, that would be in my list too, because I love the finish there. Sasha with the submission, and they have the chair right there in Bayley too. And, you know, Bayley looked like I thought she was going to pull away with it when she had Sasha there on the ladder, and Sasha got out of that there. But yeah, that was a really good match all around, and the build was good. I mean, we know the turn Bayley had on Sasha here, and you know everything that how we got here. It was a good all around performance by both of these two. And Jimmy, you know, we talked about this too, that they kind of carry the torch for the women's division over the last 4 or 5 months. They really have, and they've been at the top position right there to be the best where they are, and they were in a perfect spot, and they showed why they're the two best women in WWE currently right now. Sasha and Bayley put on a great show, and yeah, I would have that on my radar right now for a match of the year candidate. That is up there, yes.
So I felt that text message was strong, but I think it's in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
The match used a lot of plunder, as Dusty Rhodes would say, and it was good, and it's definitely in the upper echelon as far as Hell in a Cell matches goes. I like that the finish involved something that you saw on SmackDown, which was, if you didn't watch FS1, and based on the ratings, many of you didn't, Sasha got Bayley to sign the contract for the match by using the chair wrapped around her head.
Right.
And so that gives you, if you watch SmackDown and you saw the finish to Hell in a Cell, it's like, oh, they're using similar tactics. So you feel like you were rewarded for watching this. But I think overall, this is probably the second best match that they've had. I think that the one in Brooklyn at NXT TakeOver was better.
Yeah.
And I think probably part of that was the crowd just building behind Bayley and the longer term story of Bayley finally getting that moment. So this is Sasha Banks' moment. It should be a nice long championship run for Sasha Banks.
And
I think that Bayley's run, they hyped it up. Oh, she's had it for 380 days.
Yep.
Bayley's run here has really been 527 days. Mm-hmm. And that goes from the May 19th cash in on Charlotte to the loss to Charlotte at Hell in a Cell, and then she regains it back on the next SmackDown.
Right.
But I think the 385 days signifies her character shift, her character turn.
Yeah.
And if you watch the Bayley documentary that's on the WWE Network now, you have a better understanding of like why she made that turn and she made that switch, and she was finally allowed to cut her hair, get rid of the inflatable floaties, and transition into this character, which, again, it took her a long time to get to this state where she was the PW Insider Women's Wrestler of the Year.
Yep.
But we weren't talking about Bayley in that conversation until March. And now I think it's safe to say that you can see Bayley headline a WrestleMania without Becky, without Ronda. I think that, you know, Mike, you've been hyping the fact that you didn't want to see this Hell in a Cell match and you didn't want the program now. You wanted it at WrestleMania.
Well,
Bayley's at the point now where you've forgotten about Becky Lynch and you could do Bayley and Sasha in a return match. It can headline WrestleMania. It won't because it'll probably be Roman and The Rock, but it's in a position where it could be a headliner program, in my opinion.
So I had no problem with the Hell in the Cell. I didn't like how they fought on SmackDown a few weeks ago. That was my issue there. And I thought that it would have been better for Bayley to retain and have Sasha get that chase there for the next few months. But, you know, I got to watch this documentary. I know it was just released this weekend. I'm very excited to see that. The Chronicle on Bayley. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff in between the lines you can read there and they tell you and so forth. But I think that when, you know, Bayley is going to have a good little run. I'm sorry. Sasha Banks is going to have a good little run here with the championship. And she's probably going to hold. You know what, Jimmy? I wouldn't be surprised if Sasha turns things around in a storyline way of saying, hey, Bayley, I've held the title more longer than you. Where Bayley, which they're saying 380 days, right? And have Sasha hold it just as long there, and then they have their payoff next year at some point one-on-one where Bayley could get it off her again. And I don't know. There's so much possibility, but I think Sasha is going to have a real good run here for at least a year for bragging right purposes to say that she's held it just as long as her former friend.
No, I don't think so. I think the next story that they tell is it's either Charlotte goes to SmackDown because Charlotte tweeted out a photo.
She's teasing, yes.
Even though she was drafted to Raw, she tweeted out a photo of her with the SmackDown Women's Championship. And I don't think that that's an accident.
Nope.
And so you have to look at the other women. I still think, in the back of my mind, Ronda's doing WrestleMania. And I know that that's nowhere to be seen. That's nowhere. I was texting with a friend today about like what they could potentially do. And one of the ideas is Becky versus Ronda at SummerSlam at Gillette Stadium.
If we're in a
different place and a different world, but
yeah,
it's just kind of a thought that came to mind. But Sasha Banks should go on a run here. And if they rekindled the Charlotte Sasha Banks story from 4 years ago, that's something that I think can be interesting.
Yeah.
Because you're beyond Hell in a Cell and it's been 4 years. And so maybe it's new to new people. It's new to a bigger audience. It's this, that, and the other thing. Cause those are two of your four premier women's wrestlers. Because I assume Bayley gets a return match. And then it goes from there. But I don't think it'll be Survivor Series because, again, if we're talking Survivor Series, right now it lines up as Io Shirai, NXT Women's Championship, NXT Women's Champion, versus Asuka, the Raw Women's Champion, versus Sasha Banks, the SmackDown Women's Champion. That's a new and unique matchup. And that's good. And that's, again, that's how I'm thinking here when I'm thinking results of shows is, you know, what's the Survivor Series match? Are they doing three brands? Yeah. All of that goes through my head.
Right, right. And that was the big one last year, the push for the NXT on that right there to showcase that. So that's a question if they are going to bring NXT into the picture here again. But, you know, what you were saying, and I'm with you on the Ronda thing, that, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if she comes back for WrestleMania. Easy way to pinpoint her into that main event is to have her be an entrant in the Royal Rumble and win the Rumble, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure who wins the Rumble. I don't think it's Charlotte this year. Maybe it's Bayley, and they go back to Banks and Bayley or something like that. They have options, and that's the good thing is that they have enough talent where they have options.
Right.
They could always do Becky as a surprise entrant, and she comes back and she goes ready after the title that she never lost.
Sure.
It's they have options, and that's good. There are a few things that I want to highlight specifically on this match with Sasha Banks winning the women's championship from Bayley. I liked how Sasha was clearly the babyface wearing the white. Bayley, yep, dressed in black was the heel. Very easy to understand. Very, yep, very, very simple. You know, not very clear. I thought that Bayley had some great offense here, specifically the sunset flip driving Banks into the steel chair, which was wedged between the top and middle ropes. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised that Banks kicked out of the elbow from the top. That's a move that has beaten, it's won championships for Bayley in the past, and Banks kicked out of it. The frog splash on the chair was a nice tribute to Eddie Guerrero by Sasha Banks onto Bayley. The climax by Bayley on the outside to Banks was a nice shout out to Matt Taven. yeah. Bayley setting up the ladder with Sasha Banks on it across two chairs, and Bayley missed the chair to Sasha's head coming off the top rope.
Right.
It looked like Bayley was selling her wrist, which played into the finish, but that I initially thought that was kind of a shout out to NXT Brooklyn's takeover match, where, okay, the story of that match was Bayley's hand and Sasha's relentless attack on the hand.
Yep.
And it played into the finish of Banks winning with the bank statement using the steel chair, which we talked about was the payoff from SmackDown. So,
right,
really,
right,
strong match. Let's see what a Sasha Banks run at the top of SmackDown looks like, because I'm excited for it. I'm excited, yeah, for her to hopefully have more than one title defense and lose it, because her next successful title defense in a singles match will be her first. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, and you know what? Give me more Sasha Bayley, too. I mean, these two work so well together. I have no issue if they're going to fight again in the near future. You know, from the other standpoint, what I was saying before, last week on the prediction, I thought Bayley would retain and have Sasha chase. That would be awesome. But if, you know, what we saw in this Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, where both of them work so well together, I think it would be great for business to see both of them have another shot, or both continue a feud for the SmackDown Women's title. It worked well, great chemistry. And you know what? We may have another match of the year contender right there if they are to fight again. So bring it.
Well, and I think this Bayley thing has to go on at least. So Survivor Series is interbranded, we assume. Mm-hmm. Bayley and Sasha do TLC in December.
Yep.
And we'll see where we're at. After, yep, that, you've got, this is your WrestleMania match.
Okay, go ahead, yeah.
Bianca Belair.
So, you know what? It's funny you said that, because she's getting the push right now in NXT. And you know what, Jimmy? We've brought this up for conversation before, and it's still early to say this for Bianca Belair. Still early to say this right now.
You mean SmackDown, by the way, not NXT.
Sorry. Thank you.
She just beat Zelina Vega the other night.
Yes. I'm sorry. Yes. She's always will be remembered to me for the, because my point is with Bianca Belair, we have talked about this in the past of who is the best person to come out of the WWE development. When it's all said and done, it could be Bianca Belair. It could be.
And you specifically mean starting from scratch, right?
Yes, yes.
Because she went from CrossFit to NXT.
Yeah. Because we talk about Roman, you can't really, he started before NXT, right? And we talk about,
he went from football to the Performance Center. He was at Florida Championship Wrestling.
Okay, and we talked about Charlotte, where you is that? That's the borderline.
Bianca Belair's got a long way to go before she becomes Charlotte.
I know. I'm not saying Charlotte, but I'm saying she. When it's all said and done, she could be the best one out of NXT's scratch. She's on her way. She is on her way.
She's got 10 title reigns to go on a few WrestleMania main events.
I'm not saying that she is in the same company as Charlotte, but she's on her way. Let's put it that way. It's close. Like how the way they're pushing her right now, and if you're going to put her in that WrestleMania main event, then she's jockeying for position right now. I think that's a good thing.
Well, I look at the women's roster and I go, Bayley, Bianca Belair, she's got star power and you can do the boss versus Bianca. That makes sense.
Sure.
Carmella's back. I love Liv Morgan. Natty's just a workhorse. She's the veteran. So I could see Sasha and Natty having a Royal Rumble match. You know, Tamina, Selena Vega, and Ruby Riott round out the SmackDown women's division.
It's loaded.
I wouldn't say it's loaded. I think Raw's women's division is more loaded.
All right, well, the whole WWE women's,
Blitz,
the whole
Charlotte.
Yeah, but
they have Lacey Evans. Well, they have Mandy Rose. They have Mickie James. They have Naomi. They have Nikki Cross. Shayna Baszler.
Yeah, the WWE women's division is.
They have Asuka, who's the champion.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's huge for Raw. That's fantastic. But the whole WWE in general for their women's division, go to NXT too. They're loaded. And you know, we talked about AEW 2 weeks ago, going back in their 1 year. That's the night and day comparison right there, how much of a seesaw that is compared to both of them right there. WWE Women's Division, they made that investment the last couple of years. Obviously, Evolution with the pay-per-view 2 years ago this weekend. And they are proving to be, we're talking about a potential women's main event at WrestleMania. That could happen. I mean, we saw it 2 years ago. It could happen again this year. We don't know. But it's on the table, right?
It won't happen this year if they get Roman versus The Rock. But my point is that Sasha and Bayley could main event a WrestleMania.
Yeah.
They could.
Good.
And Bayley and Banks have made you forget about Becky Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the point of them being in this spot, in a good spot, and it's a good thing for the SmackDown women's wrestlers and women's wrestling in general, I think.
Yes.
So
one more thing, if you don't mind, can I just go back to one thing on Randy Orton, if you don't mind, real quick?
Sure.
I forgot to touch it. What about Edge?
Oh, Edge versus Randy Orton is going to be WrestleMania featured match, I think.
So you could have, I'm saying Edge make a run at the title though. And maybe
right. You could have Edge win the Rumble. Orton's still the champion. That program to me doesn't need the championship.
Yeah, same. It's two big names there.
But for the sake of adding an extra dimension
to
it, and for the sake of, wow, what a comeback story, Edge.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Edge reclaimed his world championship at WrestleMania 37.
Yeah.
And that's after his last championship run was him handing over the title after WrestleMania in Atlanta, the worst WrestleMania of all time at WrestleMania 27.
Yeah. So there you go. So, yeah, I just thought of that real quick. And, you know, Twitter's been blowing up with that, and I meant to bring that up. So there you go. I didn't mean to derail the conversation.
The Miz defeated Otis to win the Money in the Bank contract. There are really two stories here.
Mm-hmm.
One, Miz is the new holder of the Money in the Bank briefcase, which I thought they would just instantly have him cash in on Orton. Maybe that's coming. Maybe that should come on Raw, on a TV show, or at Survivor Series. But The Miz is a well-deserving title holder, Money in the Bank briefcase holder, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And he should get another run with the World Championship. The second story out of this is Tucker turning on Otis.
Mm-hmm.
Tucker hit Otis with the case to the shock of Miz, allowing Miz to make the cover for the three count and win the Money in the Bank case. Maybe that was telegraphed because they got split up. But I certainly wasn't thinking that way. I was thinking that Miz was just going to outright and just cheat until he wins. But there's no real payoff here unless Otis goes to Raw in a trade or Tucker goes back to SmackDown or, like, they should have put Otis on Raw anyway, because it goes with Mandy and it goes with Tucker and you can continue that. But it just kind of, like, now you have two tag team partners. Is this the split? Is there a match coming with the split? There's so many questions, but that's kind of secondary to the fact that The Miz is the Money in the Bank holder. That excites me. And my hope is that he gets the title off of somebody and goes on another run.
Yeah. You know, and just to touch on Otis real quick, boy, tough couple of months for him. He loses Mandy Rose. He loses the Money in the Bank contract. His tag team partner probably turns on him like we're talking about here. So, yeah, a lot of avenues to go there. I figured that they'd have them, you know, realign the tag team there, Otis and Tucker together. But obviously, it doesn't seem like it's going that way. So singles, I don't know. But yeah, for the Miz to have that in his possession, awesome. No pun intended. He's got that persona, and he's been at the main event. He has been. Does he need a championship? I don't think he does. But I know he'd be a good champion again. And he definitely has that intrigue now where, oh, well, Miz can cash in at any time, so you got to be ready. You just don't know. And that's what's good for an episode of Raw, or any pay-per-view for that matter. Always be on your feet for whoever the champion is. If it's going to be Randy Orton or whoever, if someone is to beat him next month, the Miz will always have that ready to go. And I think he's a perfect candidate to have the contract ready at all times.
I think Otis at the time was a surprise case winner, and I supported it. I thought it was a good idea.
Yep.
But Otis, to me, was never going to be the world champion. And WWE shouldn't have let Otis cash in for a secondary championship, and that includes the tag team championship, because I just think it defeats the purpose. Like, if you get the briefcase, if you get the Money in the Bank briefcase, then you're going to be a world champion, or you're going to try to cash in for the world championship. Like, that's the point.
Yeah.
If you're in pro wrestling, if you're in sports entertainment, your goal is to be the world champion. And Otis, I don't think, was ever going to be that, except maybe for a hiccup somewhere. And maybe if they had no fans for a longer time, they would have tried it. But Otis is, if he ever gets a singles championship run, he'll have deserved it.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be for a long run. It would be a quick, hey, Otis was the Intercontinental Champion. Hey, Otis was the WWE Champion for one night or two nights or a week, something right. like that. But Otis isn't your long-term champion. And the promo that The Miz cut early, I don't know if it was early in the pay-per-view or if it was on the pre-show, but about how important it is to have representative and be a first class individual and to have the look of the WWE champion, the universal champion. Miz is right. Miz is absolutely right. And that's how Vince thinks. That's an extension of how Vince McMahon thinks. Is he has people who he says, that's my champion. That is the person who leads the brand. And then there are other pieces that he says, well, this is a comedy guy. This is somebody who's going to help my champions look better. This guy can work in the ring. He's going to make this talent look better than it actually is.
Supporting
in
cast.
A matchup. And that's how he views it. And that's okay, because the money's as good as it's ever been in pro wrestling. It's the best that it's ever been.
Yeah.
And you have a totally different locker room that isn't trying to cut each other's throats off, at least outwardly. Because everybody's making such good money. I mean, downside guarantees are now like $100,000 a year.
Right.
So, like, and most of them are making $500,000 to a million.
Yeah.
You know, and that goes throughout all pro sports.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I think that there isn't this, what's the basketball one is Kevin McHale clothesline and Kurt Rambis in the NBA Finals.
Yep.
You don't get that type of legitimate. Or if you do, it's such an isolated incident because there's so much money on the line for everybody and nobody wants to take that food off somebody else's table. It's just, it's not that personal anymore.
Right, right. Yeah, and no more cutthroat, not too much of that behind the scenes. And yeah, with the television revenue and obviously with the loss of live events, the Fox contract is now bigger and better than ever. For WWE, TNT, for AEW, for that matter, too. So the TV money, it works. And, yeah, they call the shots here. I mean, look at the NFL, Jimmy. There's so many teams in the NFL that don't have a crowd where they had to figure out a way to go ahead with the season for a lot of it, even without the crowd, because television controlled that there. They probably didn't want this pushback beyond that first week of February for the Super Bowl where they control the shots there. Television is a powerful thing. They have too much control, where it is here for pro wrestling too. Too much money on the line, and it's too valuable for each company that have that contract. So,
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Yeah, that's why there's so much going around, and if you're in those ranks there, you're cashing in pretty well right now to be a pro wrestler, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of TV money, a lot of business, a lot of corporate money. So
it's
a lot better now.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely.
So throwing yourself against the ground is actually worthwhile. Hell in a Cell, I Quit match. Roman Reigns opened up the show tonight, which I thought was a good move based on where everything was going. Roman Reigns defeats Jey Uso to retain the WWE Universal Championship in about 30 minutes or so. Mike, I loved this match. I love the pace of it. I love the transitions. I love how both Roman and Jey Uso sold. They sold. It's a lost art in wrestling. Selling the moves, selling the trash talking. If more wrestlers sold like Roman did and like Jey Uso did, you would have more believable matches and you'd probably get stronger stars out of it. I like that Jay had a false finish of choking out Roman Reigns. It showed at the very least that Roman could be passed out in a choke and lose the championship at some point. I don't know if that's something to kind of put in the back of your mind for later on, but it did. There were spots in this match that showed Roman was vulnerable, and that was a good thing after Roman really put a beat down on Jay before. You know, towards the end, Roman taunted Jay. He was going to kill him with steps. Jimmy Uso jumped in to protect Jay. Roman dropped the steps. Jimmy asked Roman what was wrong with him, if they could work through the family issues, work through the ego issues. Roman eventually became very emotional, had tears in his eyes while on his knees. Yep. And just at that moment that Jimmy Uso thought that he got through to Roman Reigns, Roman puts him in a chokehold. And then Jey Uso, who tried to help out, said, "I quit," to save his brother Jimmy, something you could all get behind. The family, Roman wins. Roman gets up to the ramp with the Universal Championship. Afa and Sika greet him and give him the lay, putting him at the head of the table and the Universal Champion. I can't stress how effective I felt like this personal storyline is and was towards establishing Roman as a villain who will do anything to be the Universal Champion, to be the big dog of his brand, and to get the respect of everyone, including his family. I thought this was tremendous. Yep. Tremendous work on everybody's part.
And then Roman was crying too in the match there. And, you know, obviously we saw this the first time they fought Roman and Jay Uso last month, and here we are again, and now Jimmy involved. And you know, a few people were asking me on Twitter, like, you think we'll hear or see from The Rock? And I said, yeah, I don't think you'll see him tonight, but I wouldn't be shocked if he put a tweet out or something in support for, you know, someone. But that wasn't the case, so that's still up in the air too, to continue everything. But I, you know, this whole thing with the Usos being involved here, Jimmy and Jay, and Roman Reigns, and now Afa and Sika, it's a, it couldn't be better where you're in the Thunderdome. And sure, I mean, we all want a crowd back, but they have that, they're using their advantage of the Thunderdome being more or less a television studio instead of an arena. Because it's so much easier for everyone to pay attention, where if you're in the crowd, as we've talked about, you can't hear what they're saying. I mean, unless you're watching at home. I know pay-per-view audience and everything. But everyone, they have that capability of so much more talking and really getting the full emotion there of Roman Reigns to be an evil individual. And it's a great thing that WWE is working with in this scenario here. of the pandemic of no crowd, where they are having all that and building up Roman's character as probably the top heel in the last 20 years in the company. Excuse me. And you know what? We're probably going to see the Usos versus Roman Reigns at Survivor Series. I think we're on pace for that. Well, unless we're going to go with the championship one. If we don't go that route, you're probably looking at a handicap match at some point with Roman versus the Usos, whether it be Survivor Series or down the line.
I think the plan would be that Roman leads the Usos in a supergroup. That seems to make the most sense to me, that the story is over. Mm-hmm. The Usos quit, and now they are at the at the hand of Roman Reigns in this Samoan supergroup.
Yeah. Okay. Could do that. If you can't beat him, join him, right?
Well, and yeah, and that I think was the whole point of the consequences is I'm the head of the table, you take orders from me now.
Yeah.
So now let's get the Usos the tag team titles. Roman can be the Universal Champion, and let's see where this group goes. And maybe they add one or two. Like, if you're telling me that you can get Samoa Joe out from behind the announcer's desk,
yeah,
and he can be more muscle, like, I'm here for it. But again, that's a Raw person going to SmackDown,
right,
which they can do, but let's see if they do it. But I think
this could be, you know, this
I don't think Joe's going to AEW. Like, no. You think every star is going to AEW when they're supposedly disgruntled.
I think it'd be a lot better in AEW.
No, they wouldn't, because AEW many stars.
No. I think Samoa Joe would be perfect there in ring. Perfect.
I don't. That's not. Yeah, they have too many people, and they're trying to do this balance of WWE miscasts young talent.
And they would find a way for him to progress.
He's going
to
choke out Samoa Joe.
Yeah, like, they would find a way. They'd put him right there because people know him as that audience in WWE, and then you bring him right over there to AEW and say, yeah, hey, this is Samoa Joe. This is who he used to be. So now we're going to make him one of the big guys here in AEW, where he didn't get that push in WWE where he wanted to be in the ring, but he's not. So there you go. Put him right there. I think that's a perfect scenario for him.
It's not. He's always wanted to be a WWE guy, and he got to run his matches, championship matches with Brock Lesnar and AJ Styles.
Yeah, but like, what's he doing? AJ, what's he doing now? Working. Commentary?
Maybe he wants to do commentary because he needs health insurance.
But if he doesn't want that,
he said in a comment, Mike, we talked about this last week, where he said openly, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, where he said openly he was fine at the desk, and he's going to be doing more voice work for movie.
And I have no issue with that. But if he wants to be back in the ring, I think the best thing for his career would be in AEW, because I think he's lost in the shuffle in WWE.
He'd get lost in the shuffle in AEW.
I think they'd find a way to prime him up as a main event contender. They would figure out a way.
With many other people.
They'd give him the push, probably like Brody Lee. And if he, unfortunately.
So Cody can bury him in 2 months. Yeah, that's cool. Let's do that.
Yeah, you know what? If that's what he wants.
They botched Lance Archer with Moxley. They had him lose the first two stories in championship matches. Brody Lee got botched because they think he's Vince McMahon. Matt Hardy almost got killed, which is something that isn't talked about enough. Like, that concussion was bad, and Matt Hardy's been kind of a bit player since the Stadium Stampede match. So they haven't really taken these WWE talents. Matt Cardona, who had a 5-match deal. Great friend Cody is.
Let him out. Yeah, let him walk. Hey, but you know what? If they know that they can work with Samoa Joe and give him that push there, that tell everyone, hey, this is who Samoa Joe is. You know him as that. And we're going to make him as the ultimate villain for our company. Then I think people would be in on that. They would love that in AEW. But it sounds like he's going to stay at the commentary desk. And if he wants to be in the ring, then put him in the ring. But I think he's lost in the shuffle in WWE in the ring. But if you're going to put him with Roman Reigns and that crew and the Usos and make it the modern day NWO, we'll see what he can do. But he's going to make that move over to SmackDown.
Samoa Joe is in a wonderful spot. He gets a voice on Raw for 3 hours every week. He can get over with his mic work. And so when there comes a point where somebody goes to the desk, he stands up like he did to Murphy Seth and Rollins.
Yep.
And the people go nuts. Look at what Taz was able to do for years. All he had to do was stand up, twitch his shoulder, because the fans knew Taz was a killer who was being misused in his WWE run.
Yeah.
They knew that. They know that with Samoa Joe. And that's why anytime they want for a one-off match, and I still think that Roman versus Samoa Joe would be good business. You do it at a TLC, maybe even do a breakdown Fastlane. If Joe wants to work, if Vince wants Joe to work, you do it as a one-off, and then Roman can take claim to he's beaten all the Samoans, and all the Samoans must kneel to him, even though Samoa Joe is like the only one who isn't connected to the Samoan family tree in pro wrestling.
But with the name, though, you carry right there, and then you can have a real brag about, yeah, well, I'm the real guy, and you're not. So, you know, real world war, if you will.
So Survivor Series, did you have any other thoughts from Hell in a Cell tonight?
I mean, the Roman Jey Uso storyline here, we're getting more out of this. I'm really intrigued to see how this is going to continue to pan out. The Sasha stuff, just to recap briefly on that, it's going to be awesome to see what happens there. And now the million-dollar question is, how long will Randy Orton get the run with the championship, and will The Miz cash in sooner than later? So there's a lot of possibilities here after this pay-per-view. And, yeah, only two left in the calendar year, Jimmy, for WWE. So here we go. We're on the home stretch.
You say there's two pay-per-views left, and, you know, you're correct based on the calendar, but with the way that they've been loading up SmackDown,
mm-hmm.
it feels like, and SmackDown, by the way, is the best show in wrestling right now, as far as week-to-week continuity, star power, interest, yep. all that stuff. They're going to load up another one of these shows. And especially with Survivor Series, you're going to see a lot more crossover. And this is maybe where the Charlotte dragging the SmackDown women's title comes into play.
Yep.
Because if they're going to go with three brands, Survivor Series is the next move. And let's see what they do if they open the doors again, if it's more than just AJ Styles in the club showing up on Wednesday night. Maybe it's Brock. Maybe it's somebody else, because we're in the territory where Brock should be coming back. Goldberg should be coming back. They announced The Undertaker is going to be making an appearance
yes.
at Survivor Series.
30-year anniversary.
So yep. I was partially correct, as it stands right now, about Undertaker being at Survivor Series. Let's see if he fights.
Yeah, I can't see that happening now. I don't know. I'd be really surprised. I mean, probably just the appearance, 30 years, maybe get on, I don't know, something on the mic. I can't see him fighting. I don't see it happening now. Goldberg, though? Yes. But Taker, I think, too high of a spot. Thinking more about it after we talked about it last week when you kind of broke that news a little bit with them returning and so forth and Roman Reigns. I just think that was a high spot there with the AJ Styles win at WrestleMania. So why put Taker in that position to, you know, be potentially embarrassed where Roman Reigns would beat the crap out of him? And that's what WWE would have him do. And I think they want that legacy of the Undertaker there to just be, yeah, here he is 30 years later, Survivor Series, making an appearance, and that's it. See ya.
But if Undertaker comes in and says, look, Roman didn't get what he should have gotten in Orlando at WrestleMania 33. I want to do what's right. What's right is for Roman to destroy me as it's my last crack at the title. Like, that's the best for business, because The Undertaker has always been somebody who seems like a traditionalist and would want to lose his last match. And what better way to do that than to make Roman look strong at Survivor Series, the anniversary? Roman would get super booze, maybe not as bad as Orlando, but when we get the crowds back, it would be maybe not as equivalent, but it would just put more emphasis on Roman as the villain. I destroyed your Undertaker, and not only did I do it once, not only did I retire him in Orlando, I retired him at Survivor Series. I retired at him at his event. It was his celebration. It was his 30-year anniversary, and I put him out of his misery again. Bow to me.
I mean, yeah, that's, again, I think that would make sense to, you know, continue to make Roman the ultimate evil badass and bad guy in general. So if that's the case, then, yeah, I could see that happening. But I think the way that they presented that for just the appearance of the Taker returning, and it almost like, I heard a tease with Byron Saxton saying that, you know, Undertaker's had so many good moments in his career. What a great way to honor his legacy at Survivor Series. It's probably just going to be him saying, you know, rest in peace and whatever. That's it. And
and Roman comes out and says, acknowledge me. Yeah. I'm your leader. I'm your tribal chief.
You'll do everything to freaking bury the Taker, Jimmy. You are not an Undertaker
Mike
guy.
Mike Riley, acknowledge me. Acknowledge me. I'm your tribal chief. Acknowledge me. Bend the knee. Bend the knee. Say I quit.
Listen, I'm protecting my boy. I am protecting.
Say I quit. Bend the knee.
I am protecting the Undertaker, and I think that's what Vince will do to the very end to protect him a little bit. Yeah. Goldberg, though, go ahead. Beat the crap out of him, Roman. I have no issue with that.
But Undertaker,
I would love Goldberg.
Acknowledge me.
I want Goldberg to acknowledge Roman Reigns as the tribal chief. I would be, I have no issue with that. But Undertaker, no. He's too protective.
Acknowledge me, Mike Riley. Quit. Say I quit.
All right, wait a minute. Hold on. We have, let's see here. All right, I'll quit in about 4 minutes. We got 4 minutes left. What do you think?
Each week you can listen to wrestling.
I'm fine. Yeah, good show. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, mediocre show. Each week you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Mike Riley, acknowledge me.
I quit.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.